All right, we're recording. okay, introduce yourself to everybody. This is going to be a fun discussion. Tell everybody
Yeah, I'm
what
so
you
excited.
do, how we, well, we could talk about how we met, but take the floor.
Totally. Okay, well, my name is Jordana Ezra, and I am a queer sex coach. So I help people really integrate internalized homophobia so that they feel really alive in their sexuality, in their gender, and in their bodies, and then they can have incredible sex. And yeah, feel really good about their queerness. So really drop into like having, like feeling like your queerness is a superpower instead of a inconvenience. And
Love
yeah,
that.
I also teach people like the art of pussy worship. That's probably my favorite thing to really jam out
What?
on,
Well,
like
we gotta
how
talk
to
about
eat
that.
pussy like a pro. Yeah, we can jam on all things pussy today and all things queer. But yeah, that's basically it.
Okay, so what is internalized homophobia?
So internalized homophobia is like the internalization of like homophobia, and how that happens is because we have constant messages around like the social constructs of heteronormativity and the binary, right? That really indicate to the nervous system that that is the safest way to live. And we're really taught that like being queer or being gay is wrong, essentially, and off grid. And that kind of really indicates to our nervous system and to our primal brain that it's not the safest way to live and potentially could be quite dangerous, right? But internalized homophobia is when you internalize these views unconsciously, right? So you're not even like, I have internalized homophobia and I'm queer as fuck, yet I still notice that, like, you know, it can really show up as like shame during sex or like sexual shutdown, like when you're having sex with somebody and then you can feel like your body's shutting down and you're not even sure why, especially like same sex. Like if you're having queer sex, like, and your body's just feeling like, oh my God, I really love this, but in some degree, I don't feel safe.
And that's because the person internally thinks that what they're doing is wrong, so they shut down.
Totally. Yeah. They're like, this is bad. This is wrong. I even know for me, like sometimes like I have those thoughts. It's just that I'm aware of exactly what that is. Like I'll be having sex with a girl and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, why do I feel like this is so fucking naughty? Like, what? And like, yeah, it can really show up like that. Like that's like the soft way that it can show up. And then like on a more like damaging way, it can really show up as like deep shame and shutdown and not like being not feeling liberated in your sexuality, being too scared to be like, I'm queer, I'm gay, and take like deep ownership for how you want to express your sexuality in any given moment, right?
How, well, obviously, I was just going to say, how do people get over that? But really, they get over that by hiring somebody like you. How do you help them get over that?
Yeah, so I love that question. There's like a lot of different ways. And I guess it's like such a nuanced thing, right? Like, because internalized homophobia can show up as so different for so many people, but a lot of like emotional releasing techniques. So really feeling like understanding what the thoughts are first, and then feeling how those sensations show up in the body, and doing some kind of like somatic practice to create a relationship with those sensations so that you're not feeling like disconnected or out of control when those sensations come up, and really recognizing your own signature. And what I mean by that is that, like, you know, shame really shows up differently in everybody's body. But when you can really recognize, oh, that's like the way that my shame shows up, and like bring connection, bring compassion, bring awareness to that sensation, it becomes less like a death sentence or something that you want to run away from, and something that you can embrace. And when you're embracing it, you can move through it. And just on the other side of that, like literally just on the other side of that,
say is it, girl.
Like incredible pleasure. Like
the best sex so of your fucking like, life. You know,
literally.
It's funny. I've never, maybe in the beginning, I came out so, when did you come out?
I don't have like a big coming out thing. Like I had like many girlfriends when I was like a teenager, and then I only slept with dick for like fucking 10 years. And I was like, what the fuck am I doing? But like maybe like 4 years ago, I was like, okay, I'm definitely, definitely gay. And I definitely will marry a woman. And yeah, that's that.
So you identify as gay?
Queer, but like,
mainly gay.
I definitely will still have sex with dick, but I definitely would not marry a person with a penis.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. I think, you know what's funny? Okay, well, going back to what I was saying, I never had that, I guess, because I came out at like 13, 14 before even like I was even sexual. I knew that I had that attraction for women.
Right.
And when I started eating pussy, I internalized my feelings before sex, right? So my only issue was like, in the beginning was like, oh my God, I'm not supposed to be attracted to women. Once I got over that, I was like, I'm eating pussy. Let's go, baby. But
right?
I do notice though, as a masculine lesbian during sex, It's hard for me to open up because there are parts of me that feel emasculated. So that's like my issue. But what I'm trying to get to is I never even realized that this was a thing. Do you think that there are people out there like that are essentially living as straight that don't even realize that they have that internalized homophobia?
Oh, for sure. I think everybody in the world has internalized homophobia because of the way that like heteronormativity is like neon sign to us, right? Mm-hmm. Like I was watching this fucked up show the other day called Pray It Away. I was telling you about it. Yeah, like about conversion therapy, right? And like how they're just like the church states that like being a homosexual is a bad thing, and they try and convert people to like become straight, right? So these people are like, they're like, this is wrong, la 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 la. Obviously like that like whole movement contributes to like how much of a big thing like homophobic culture is, right?
Yeah.
And I do. I think like a lot of people like would love to explore their sexuality, not even coming out as like queer or gay or anything like that. But, you know, like our sexuality is alive. Like it's an alive thing inside of our body. Like
it's not ever changing,
stagnant thing.
Right. It's consistently changing and evolving. People think you just got to have, first of all, you don't pick it. It just kind of happens as life happens. Right.
Right.
People think you got to like choose one and stick with it. It's like, no, like you can recognize that you could still sexually get down with the dick, but like emotionally and then
like, yeah,
you can take that dick, but do you want the person attached to it for the rest of your life? No. And you can recognize that, and I feel like not too many people do that. I feel like even in the gay community, it's like, okay, you've identified as a lesbian, you can't go back on that. Like, you know, people, when I know influencers who like came out as gay and then they were like, just kidding, I'm bi, I like men too, and like people are up in arms about it. It's like, wait a second, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's fucked. But I mean, like, we love to box people in, right? We love to give people a fucking label. And that's also like a safety thing. Like, it's a deep safety thing. Like, it makes us feel safe when we're like, we've got this like cozy box that we like belong to. And, you know, like, oh, I'm a lesbian. And like, you know, I definitely identify as a lesbian. I definitely identify as gay and queer. And I really, I think like that's a big thing that I really talk to my clients about, is like connecting to your sexuality as if it's like this flowing thing that responds to your environment, right? Like, you know, if a person with a penis came up to me and I did feel attraction, I would probably explore that. And I also know, like, from my sexual experiences with pussies, that it's the flavor of like that flavor of connection brings me so much joy. Yeah. And like it actually awakens like every part of my body. And I don't get that same experience with a person with a penis. But I think when you can start to really connect to your sexuality, like it is this flowing thing, and fuck what everybody else thinks. Like, people are always going to have their opinions. Like, people constantly message me and they're like, what does being queer mean? And like, you know, how do, like, I don't know if I identify as like gay and all of these kinds of things. And I think it's just finding whatever works for you and whatever feels like it's actually allowing you to express your sexuality in your most authentic and liberated way.
Right. Here's my thing, right? I identify as a lesbian, but I'm attracted to femininity. And so if a trans woman were to walk up to me and I was attracted to her and we had some sort of connection, I would be with her. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
And technically that would make me then technically pansexual, correct? Or is it kind of getting, the lines are kind of getting a little.
Well,
I mean, trans women are women.
Like, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But genitalia wise, right? Like if a trans woman still had her penis, then what would that make me? Would I be a lesbian?
Yeah, for sure, because that person 100% identifies as a woman.
Okay, so then I'm a lesbian.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like maybe I'd be pansexual because I would go for a trans woman. Like, I wouldn't discriminate against, if I had a connection with her and I was very attracted to her, most definitely it would be happening, you know?
Yeah. I think like the, like, that's where, like, this is where the binary is so blurred. Mm. And like, that is like, the binary is a complete illusion as well. And we're taught that, you know, if you're born with a penis, you are a male. And if you're born with a pussy, then you're a female. And then we're given these gender roles to perform like throughout our lives that, like, you know, make us feel certain ways. But gender is a feeling just like sexuality, right? It's not meant to be put into a fucking box.
I mean, look, I don't present as a woman or female, you know. I am a female because I have the parts, I have the chromosomes, but gender wise my it doesn't match, you know.
Yeah, totally.
So
yeah,
now can we talk about pussy now?
Yeah. I would love to talk about pussy.
So do I.
Yeah.
Okay, so you said pussy worship is something that you love to like get into. What is that?
Mm-hmm. So I guess like the reason that I love to get into that is because like I coach a lot of baby gays or a lot of people that have mainly fucked penises and now really wanting to explore pussy. And there is this kind of like, oh, what do I do with pussy when I fucking see it? Like, I know I have one, like I have my own, but like when I'm in front of someone else's, like, oh my God, like the fear that these babes feel.
Really? I mean, I've been with a few straight girls that were like scared.
Yeah. It's intimidating, right? Like you're at the temple gates. You're at like, you know, you're at the portal of the fucking universe. Like, of course it's a fucking intimidating time. Like, I fucking hear that. And this is what really got me into like, okay, like there needs to be like this art of pussy worship, because it's not about technique, right? Like, yes, like, you know, there, like, of course there's certain ways to like go down on women and like, you know, finger fuck and like whatever it is, but like this, like the art of pussy worship really takes this kind of like performance anxiety away, because it's about, it's not really about technique, but it's about how you feel about pussy, right? There's so much stigma on what a pussy is meant to smell like, what a pussy is meant to taste like, what a pussy is meant to look like, right?
Yeah.
Like there is so much like stigma around that. So when it really comes to pussy worship, it's all about like finding or creating, what are the point, like your own relationship with your own pussy, and really like coming to terms with the fact that it's like the most magical, beautiful part of your existence, and getting to know what your pussy really likes, and affirming pussy. And why I get people to do this is because the more that you can build up a relationship with your own pussy and be in awe of it, the more presence and awe you can hold when you're in front of somebody else's pussy. And honestly, like affirming a pussy, like, I don't know, for me, I don't know about you, but tell me if this feels good. Like when somebody's like there at like at your temple gates and they're just like, oh my God, like that is the most beautiful pussy I have ever seen. Like, oh my God.
Nobody's like, done that
to
me.
I love your pussy so much. Oh my God, I want to do that to you.
But you know what though? I guess it's different for somebody like me. I wouldn't crave that.
Right. And yeah, I want to hear what you would crave.
What do I crave?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Is this going to be so cliche to say? I'm going to say it. I really am just a tried and true like giver, if that, like, and I, not that I like to receive, let's not fucking go like get crazy, but like if I were to, let's say, I've been with straight women who were uncomfortable, let's say, like going there, right? I mean, I'm sure eventually they would have worked their way up to that point, let's say, but I'm okay with a pillow princess. Like there's a piece of me, I get off getting a girl off.
Yeah, of course, like that's so hot.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah. I'm the type of person, like there's some girls that I, there are some, not some, there, I'm not even going to say this. Moving on. I'll tell you in private, but I need to be the best person that's ever done it. You need to walk away from an experience with me saying, I'm never going to be fucked the way that Tori just fucked me. And if you didn't, I need to continue to try and continue to try until it gets to that. That's like who, how I am.
Yeah. Okay. I love that so much. And I guess like everybody desires that, right? To know that they were, well, to feel like they were the best fuck that person ever had. Right. And I mean, I hear this often with like quite masculine tops, that like giving is more, more of what they desire than receiving. And yeah, I don't know, like, do you think that you would feel like good if like you were in a switch relationship, like with somebody that was like quite switchy, that kind of really, that could like, would you be with a soft top?
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Oh, we're going to get really into the woods here. Let me talk about my own. I hate referring to it as a pussy for some reason, but let me talk about my own pussy.
Yes.
She don't like penetration.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Is that a thing? Because some
of course. Like, oh my God.
Okay.
Like that's such a thing.
I've genuinely, especially when I have a partner who I know like wants to penetrate me, I've tried and it just does nothing for me.
As in like you don't feel anything?
I feel nothing.
Okay. Well, I don't want to speculate, but I feel like when you feel nothing, like in the internal canal of your vagina, that like could be due to like holding something in there, like either like trauma or like different kind of things happen. Like a numbness in like the vaginal canal is definitely something to look at. If you do want to explore like penetration and like you do want to explore like G-spot orgasms and cervical orgasms and different things like that, there's lots of different ways that you can really bring sensation back. Like especially if it's not hurting and it's just like a numbness kind of thing.
No, it hurts. Like, it hurts a little bit, but it's more so like it's not like a my God, that hurts. It's a okay, I can feel it, but like I know when I get inside of a woman, literally my fingers get in and just from the slip in, she's like like that. You know what I mean? I don't get that sensation. Yeah. I don't have that.
Okay. Do you ever finger fuck yourself?
Never. Never.
I would definitely start there. Like, just like start to kind of like open. Although like, if this is something that you're like, okay, like I just don't want it. Like, I'm just saying these things like, because yeah, exactly that. Like penetration can be like one of the most pleasurable things to fucking experience ever. And if it is something that like you wanted to like experience more of, just like have like research, like cervical de-armoring or like vaginal de-armoring, because yeah, like we do have like an armor and like around there sometimes. And, you know, we are holding on to a lot of emotions, and especially like, you know, us, and by us, I mean like people that are Cancer and that love a lot and that have a lot of emotions flowing through their body. Like our womb area and our pussy space can hold a lot of that emotion and heartbreak and different things like that. And yeah, like that can really, really, really show up as like numbness in the vagina and not like being scared to like open up completely and being scared to be like, you know, like, and that's such a thing that like I see sometimes with like masculine presenting lesbians, is that like they want to give, but like really like feeling safe to surrender and like go and like be like in the bliss of pleasure is something that like you guys struggle with. And I definitely don't want to box like every masculine presenting lesbian into this, but like, yeah, like opening up and softening into like receiving pleasure, it seems to be something that's quite difficult sometimes.
Yep.
And that's okay
for me.
Yeah.
It definitely is. And I mean, not to say, like I said, I love giving. When I say I love giving, I really mean that.
Yeah, that's you all.
Oh my God, so much. But like,
yeah,
I would love to feel what, like, just once, I would love to feel what the woman I'm fucking is feeling when I go inside of her, like when I'm inside of her, you know what I mean? I've never felt that.
Maybe no one's ever like created like a completely safe space for you to like 100% let go. And I guess like that's like another thing that pussy worship is all about. Like, it doesn't really need to be like just about like affirming what you see. It's like creating this safe space for pussy to completely let go. It's like the continuation of consent. It's like taking things like even slower than you've ever taken something before, and like really getting this like consent and starting to like allow And being in awe of the pussy in front of you. And I think that really takes like number one, like performance anxiety out of it, because you're not there just trying to like shove fingers in or like, you know, like lick the left fucking, the upper left quadrant of a clit or like whatever it is.
Is there technique? I feel like there is.
Yeah, of course there's technique, but all I'm saying is that like more importantly than technique, it's like having like being present and like really honoring, like, and then like when you're not in fear, it kind of like you get more courageous and more confident to ask that person what they want. And then you can specifically give that pussy what it wants, instead of just like, imagine if like someone was like, yeah, I know how to fuck. Like, and then they come to you and you're like, I don't want penetration. And then they're like, oh my God, I had this like fucking technique that I was going to like try. And I was going to like, you know, like jam my fingers up to her fucking cervix. And yeah, like, of course there's fucking technique, but like the technique is like feeling confident enough to really be present with the pussy in front of you and to ask what that pussy wants, and also to feel confident to be like, this is what I fucking desire right now and what I want to receive, right?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like every pussy is different.
Oh my God, yes. Every pussy.
But I do feel like there is a technique to pleasing a woman. Like, there's a way to go down on her. There's a way to finger her that opens the floodgates and, like, you know, whatever, that makes her do certain things. But I've noticed, like, in my own sexual experiences, I struggle with, even though I know how to please a pussy, I struggle with that.
I'm sure you do.
I do. But I also can recognize and am self-aware of my struggle with the confidence and depending on who the partner is, being fully present and like being more like, I'm not a stiff fucking thing going into it, but I do overthink a lot. Like, does she like this? Does she want this? Like, maybe I shouldn't smack her ass. Like, I'm constantly like in my fucking head, you know? And yeah. And it's, at the end of the day, sex is an energy exchange. So like, you got to feed off of their energy and they're feeding off of your energy. So if you're in your head, they're fucking feeding off of you. And then it just leads to this whole fucking, not a shitty experience, but like it could be better, that energy could be. I've had experiences with women where like I'm lifting you up and I'm throwing you on my fucking dresser and fucking the shit out of you. And then I've had experiences with women where I overthought everything, and I mean, she still came, but I'm still overthinking it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Oh my God. That's so normal, babe. Like, so fucking normal. And yeah, I hear that. And yeah, I think like when you do get in your head, like the best things to do are to slow things down. Like, just to have that moment to pause for like, you know, a second or two and like take a breath. We're not on a fucking race. Like, this is not about orgasm, right? And because we are so goal orientated, of course, like we're continuously like in our mind, like, and that's like generally what you're thinking about, right? In sex, like, how can I make this person come?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of how can I move my fingers in a way that's going to get her to a certain place? And I think when you can bring it back to like pleasure and like what am I feeling right now, like whenever I'm in my head, I always ask myself that, like, what am I feeling right now? And I just try and drop into my pussy a little bit more, or drop into my body a little bit more, and really bring it back to like pleasure, like right now. Like, we're experiencing like so much pleasure right now, and it's not about whether or not they come. And actually, when you can take coming or like having an orgasm off the table, that is going to really allow the pussy that you're in front of, or like the person that you're fucking, to like relax a little bit more and open up to more pleasure and probably have a better orgasm because there isn't that like pressure, right? I love to say things like you don't have to come. Like, this isn't about you coming. Like, I just want you to really like enjoy this experience right now. And like, I know that like when I say these kinds of things, people are like, fuck, like I would never say that. But I guarantee every woman that I fuck that I say that to is just like, oh my God, like that was the best fucking experience of my fucking life. Even if you're like in that kind of like that pound pound, like, you know, I'm going to take this bitch down top energy, like really speaking to the fact that like there is no pressure to go anywhere. Like we are here right now enjoying this, right?
That's exactly, I think that's my issue, because my head is like, I need to make you come. If I didn't make you come, I failed. That's like where I'm at.
Yeah. Okay, so then like you're putting that like really like back on yourself. Of course you're going to get in your head, and then like sex, that's like just mind sex, right? It's like nothing compared to when like you're in like in the body enjoying like the moment. You yeah. should have like a 30 days like no orgasm thing.
What?
Like, yeah, like just like really like expanding like your pleasure and your self-pleasure and like the pleasure of whoever like you're fucking, and take like orgasm completely off the table and just see like what's available, like see like, you know, what's there.
Oh man.
You're on an orgasm ban, Tori Franco.
What?
You're on an orgasm ban.
Shit, like for myself or for another, for somebody else?
Well, like for yourself, but and for like whoever you're fucking.
So like, fucking
I mean, somebody. Like they can orgasm, like if it gets there, but like take it off the table and definitely say like, you know, like we're just going to really explore, like we're going to fuck, but we're going to take things slow. We're going to make love or like whatever. And just like, if this isn't about you or me coming.
Oh, I had a, I was doing sexy things with a girl and
oh yeah.
She's the only girl. And when I tell you the only girl who has not ever come for me, and we no longer partake in sexual activities, but when I tell you, it fucked up my confidence so much that I was like, do I suck in bed? Like it, like, and I brought that into the, my next sexual encounter.
Right.
And the next sexual encounter, I did make her come, but it was still something that like loomed over my head that I knew, like I was overthinking, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, I get that. Like had I said to myself, had I gone into that experience saying like, if she comes, great. If she doesn't, great, because she's still enjoying herself in some capacity, right? I think I would have, I beat myself up a lot with that.
Yeah, and I think that it's really important to like have a look at that story. Like if I don't make somebody come, then I'm not good and bad. And like really change that to, you know, the more present I am, the better in bed I am. Or like, do you know, like people, I never think, oh my God, that person gave me such a fucking good orgasm. I never think that. I'm always like, oh my God, that person like looked at me like I was a motherfucking queen. Or that person like was so, oh my God, I loved it, that they spent so much time with my tits. Oh my God, like they worshipped me so hard. I'm thinking about that. I'm not thinking about like, oh my God, that person made me come in 5 minutes.
Oh,
I never, ever, ever, ever think that. Like that, it doesn't even like equate to the good sex I've had. The best sex of my life, I didn't come. Like literally the best sex of my fucking life. And it was so present and so amazing and so emotional and so connected. And it was like, yeah, like cosmic.
How do you become more present? Is it just the slowing down and like asking, checking in with yourself? What about checking in?
Yeah, it's being present with, yeah, it's being like more, I'm just going to put my phone in. It's being like more present with your own body, right? Like it's all about like, obviously like being present with their body. But the more in tune you are with your body, you're going to be able to like, is it fucked? Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you. Yes. Yeah. Wait.
Okay. Good.
You're going like you're frozen right now.
Are we back?
Can you hear me?
Oh no.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes. I turned my camera off.
Okay. Like, yeah, that's
is that good now?
That might be. Yeah, you're good now.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so I think like it really is like being aware of your own sensations inside of your body and being connected to your own pleasure, whether you're receiving or giving. Like, you know, like you said, like when you give, like you are, that's what turns you on the most. So like you're aroused in that moment and like you've got a lot of pleasure coursing through your body. So it's coming back to the sensations inside of the body. And you know, breathing, like having a look at like your breath, relaxing your body. Like often, like think about like when you have an orgasm, right? Like, is your body all like tense? Like your whole body's like tense, like softening into pleasure. And that's a whole different experience than like tensing into pleasure, right? So it's just like breathing and coming back into the body, slowing everything down. This ain't no fucking race.
Mm.
Like it's just not a race. Unless, you know, you've got 5 minutes before a fucking interview or whatever, and you are having a quickie. But like, don't make sex a race. Like that's especially gay sex.
Oh
like,
no, there's no way to even make gay sex, well, lesbian sex a race. Like somehow, some way, it always ends up being at least 5 hours for some reason. Like, I don't understand how,
right.
But. See, like, I don't.
That's the best part about being a lesbian.
It really is. We go into a time portal, and I think maybe the vagina is the portal. But
yes.
I love taking my time. I love worshiping a woman. I love making a woman feel good. I have where I think I need to work on my sexual experiences is my own vulnerability in that moment, because even sometimes eye contact for me, like it's hard. Making noise for me when I'm feeling pleasure is hard. Being more in my confidence and like being aggressive and like grabbing a girl by the throat, I can do it, but it's hard, if that makes sense. I don't know. I don't know what my issue is. Who knows?
Yeah, I hear that, babe. Like 100%. Yeah, I mean, like it's definitely like being vulnerable in sex. It makes you susceptible, right? To feel more things, to be like, and your heart is open in sex. So like things can come up, like other heartbreaks, like other connections, like different things like that. Like it's a heart opening experience, like see you and touch you and experience you in a way that most people don't. Right.
Yep.
And I guess like a way to feel more confident with opening up and being more vulnerable, like in sex, is to take it outside of the bedroom. Like, especially like if you have like, if you have a partner, like, you know, like eye gaze outside of sex, or like have conversations about like, you know, okay, like I want to experience a different kind of pleasure with you. Like I want to experience like some slowness and some softness, and like having these conversations away from the bedroom, and then like, you know, bringing them in.
Here we are. You're going in and out. Can you hear me?
Oh, that sucks.
Can you hear me? I can hear you. So you, can you hear me still? Shit. By now.
Yeah, I can hear you, babe.
Okay. So you suggest that going like,
so shit.
What happened?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Why is it doing this?
I can hear you and I can hear you.
You're all right. We're, hey girl. We're back now. We're back. We had Wi-Fi issues, but we're good now.
So you're being way too sexy.
You recommend like doing certain things to be comfortable outside of sex, outside of the sexual experience. That's a good idea. I'd never even thought of that.
Of course I fucking do. Oh my God. Okay. So like having your number one, like the number one thing is having a relationship with yourself, right?
Yeah.
Like that is going to be the thing that allows you to like drop deeper in and like having a look at these things. Like, why am I scared? Like, why am I nervous to be vulnerable in sex? Like, what is it? Like, am I scared of heartbreak? Am I scared of rejection? Am I scared that I'm going to be too much, too chaotic? Like, and I do feel like that is a thing for Cancerians. Like, you know, we are wild in the bedroom. And I do bunch us into this because every fucking Cancerian I know is literally a fucking sex god and also like the most emotional person I've ever fucking met. So like we have these two things where we're wildly sexual, but also like we get wildly attached, and it can create like a boundary. Like we can put up a protection mechanism. And essentially what that is being like, you know, being too scared to be vulnerable, Tori, is a protection mechanism, like a protection of your heart, or like it's protecting you from, you know, like hurt essentially, or being rejected or being abandoned, like whatever it is, whatever the core wounding is. And it's just like having a little bit of a look at that, but also like having a relationship with yourself in the mirror and like self-seducing and doing like different techniques like that. And like really being in your own sexual energy for yourself is going to like, I'm just imagining you doing this and just being like,
I can't,
this is you. Like you're in the mirror, right? And you're like, oh, Tori, you are so sexy.
I can't even.
I'm going to fuck you so hard later, girl. Like you and me.
Do you see my face turning red right now? I can't look at myself like that. Like when people call me sexy, I want to throw up. Like,
what do you like to be called?
I don't know.
Hot?
Yeah, I'm okay with hot. For some
reason. You're very hot. Like find what you want to be called and say that to yourself. Like, oh my God, like, fuck, you are hot. You're such a babe. Like, oh my God, you are dead set. The most babin' soft top lesbian I've ever fucking met. Like, doing these kinds of things, like, is such a fucking good self-love practice, but it also allows you to see where your vulnerability blockers are, right? Yeah. Because like you said, like you're like, oh, I don't want like somebody to call me fucking sexy, or like, you know, like I don't want to receive these kinds of things. Like And then when you can really see like where your like blockers are, you can soften into them and be like, okay, like, why don't I want somebody to call me sexy?
Because I don't feel it. That's why. Because I don't think I am.
Right.
Yeah.
But you actually are. So. And like, oh my God. You are so fun. yeah. Like, I do that all the time. Like, I just stand in front of the mirror and like play with myself the way that I want to be played with. Like, or, and I say the things that I want like people to say to me, and it happens. Like, you know,
I mean, it makes sense. Like, even from like a manifestation point of view and like affirmations, it's like, yeah, you have to actually believe it to receive it. Right. So with sex, it makes sense too. You have to actually believe that you're sexy in order to receive that sexiness. And like, then that translates to in the bedroom, I'm sure, then you acting more sexy and like stepping out of your comfort zone a little bit. Like, I get that. That makes so much sense. I just don't know how comfortable I would feel sitting in front of a mirror.
Well, you've got to be vulnerable with yourself, Tori. Like, that's what it is. Like, this is about like being so vulnerable with yourself.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah. And that's
important. Like, it's like, yeah, like opening up to, yeah, like your own vulnerability and softening, like getting emotionally vulnerable with yourself. Like, of course. And you are like this self-love, like,
I know,
queen.
I really am.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to do this. It's so funny though, because like you think of a sex coach, and like even coming into this conversation, I really genuinely thought we were going to talk about like technique more, but it makes so much sense that technique is easy, right?
Right.
Like, you get in a vagina, you go in and up, and like, there's the G spot. You know what I mean? Like, that's how you, like, you, the clit is in a certain spot. It's like not moving. It's not going anywhere. But the hardest parts about sex aren't even that. It's the vulnerability. It's the feeling comfortable. It's the energetic part that is important. Yeah.
It's like, how can I actually receive right now?
Yeah. 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 What would you, what sex advice would you give somebody?
The most general sex advice that I would give anybody is to start a self-pleasure practice with yourself and to really get to know your body, your desires, your emotions, and your turn-ons, like, and really start to have this incredible, like, practice with yourself, like 100%. Getting to know your pussy, and I don't mean just like, you know, like quickly, like flicking the bean, like really, like getting to know like your body, like, and like taking like an hour to really make love to yourself. Like, that's the best sex advice that I could ever give anybody, is to understand what your turn-ons are, understand what your turn-offs are, and start to give yourself what you really want to be given by somebody else. And the more that you can create a relationship with your own body and your own pussy, the more confident you're going to be in like expressing, number one, expressing the fullest expression of your sexuality, and like feeling really, really motherfucking good in your body, which is going to give you confidence in and out of the bedroom to like really like have the sex of your dreams. Like, it's like, you know, nobody goes into like a grand final, you know, sports game without practicing fucking anything. Like, you have to practice with yourself. Like, you've got to, like, you, like, it is the number one fucking thing that you can't just go and fucking be like a fucking sex goddess.
Yeah, no, you're right.
That you're a sex, like before you're a sex goddess with yourself.
I never even thought of it like that, but yeah, you're right. And it really is. It's like a self-love practice. Like it ties in. It really does tie into self-love. I'm like talking to you, realizing what my issues are, and they all stem from like that confidence and self-love thing. Do I think the women that I've been with have complaints? No.
Of course not.
well, in the pleasure department, but in the presence department, yeah, for sure. Like, yeah, I could definitely tell you that there are definitely women who wish that I was more open in certain aspects, you know? And as a Cancerian, you could probably relate to this as a fellow Cancerian. Our main goal is to be everything sexually and romantically that our partner wants. So if I'm getting a complaint from somebody that like I'm with, I'm going to take that to heart and like really try to change that. You know what I mean? So it just makes a lot of sense. I'm understanding myself more sexually by talking to you. You know what I mean?
No, that makes me so happy. And yeah, for sure. I mean, like we want to people please so much, and like people pleasing, like in like sexually, of course, like is a huge fucking thing. Yeah. But we don't want to be self-abandoned. And of course, like, you know, unraveling codependency is, it's a lifelong thing, right? But it really is something to do in the bedroom. You know, like we're not just here to please them. And like, when you really know what you want and what you desire and what is going to like really fucking light you up, that energy is going to be really good for like, for every party involved. And essentially, like when you choose yourself, you're choosing the best for everyone else. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just a fucking thing, right?
Yeah.
And it's so hard for us. We're like, oh my God, it doesn't matter what we want. I just want to eat your pussy for days.
That's literally.
Oh my God. No, honey. I don't need to be touched in any way. I'm your sexual slave.
That's literally me. Literally, like I'm here for you. And then the minute a woman wants to be here for me, I'm like, skirt. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
But then do you get resentful? Like, do you get resentful? Like if like they don't show up at all for like certain things, or like you're not met in like a similar way sometimes?
Sexually? No.
Never. No, but in other areas.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Sexually, you don't ever have to show, honestly, you don't. And it's, again, I love receiving, but you don't ever have to show up for me sexually, and I will literally love fucking the shit out of you for the rest of my life. Like, that is how I am. Emotionally, no. If I'm there for you emotionally, you don't show up for me emotionally, peace out.
Bye.
Right. But what do you think about that as a sex coach? Do you think that emotions have to tie into it in some respect?
Yeah. Okay. Like 100%. Even like if you're like, you know, casually fucking somebody, like emotions are always going to be there. This is a heart-centered experience, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, I think like that's like, you know, if you are like casually fucking somebody, like that's where like conversations come in to really create a safe space for anything to be felt in that moment, by like really naming what is actually happening and what is going on. But yeah, like emotions tie into everything, and emotions are like that part of the body, like, you know, that part of the nervous system. That's what essentially is going to be like the like those are the feelings that are going to be like either opening you up or blocking you. So having a relationship with your emotions and what is, and with what's going on in your emotional body during sex is essentially going to either like, you know, allow you to move forward, like to experiencing more pleasure, or like have you like be like, no, like I'm not ready for this, or like I'm blocked, or like I'm in my head now. Like it's those sensations that are like, you know, I guess like being the railway track for where the sex is going.
I can't, okay. I can have meaningless, no, it's never meaningless sex. I can have sex with somebody
not attached
that I don't have feelings for.
Yeah.
But I will develop emotions for them, like a care. There's a care, but there's a difference for me though. And you know, I would love to get your insight on this. Do you think that sex is better when you have that, those feelings versus, let's say, just a casual partner?
No. I feel like the more you're connected with your emotions, the better sex that you're going to have. Of course, like, you know, when you're emotionally connected to somebody and you've got like, that's chemistry, right? Like you've got that, like that, oh my God, like this, they're my person. Like, yeah, like sex is going to be fucking incredible, right? But right, you can have like that incredible sex with a casual person as well. And you are just having a relationship with your own emotions. And like, yeah, yeah.
So it's more so about knowing the person that's walking into the sexual encounter. And by knowing the person, I mean yourself, like you have to know who you are.
Yeah. And have a relationship. Yeah. Know what serves you. Like for me right now, like I'm like still so heavy in my heartbreak. And I was actually meant to meet up with like a couple this week, and like they're really sexy and have sex with them. But I just know that I'm not ready to have sex with somebody else right now. Like I'm not, like, and I can feel that in my body. And I think it's really good to discern with what is actually going on with you, how open you are, what's available for you. And that's always going to lead you to like really good sexual experiences, right? You don't necessarily have to be like in love and like vibing with somebody and stuff, but you having a good relationship with what's actually going on for you is going to bring you into like incredible sexual experiences. I know when I'm ready that I won't fall in love with this couple, right? 100%. Like I already know it in my body, but I 100% know that I'm probably going to have the most fucking incredibly connected, mind-blowing sex with them, because it's not about like a future with them. There's still going to be like love and like, you know, fucking like chemistry and fireworks, but it's, I think sometimes like, you know, us as in Cancerians, we're like so attached to like the future that we're creating, and that like that plays a part in how good the sex is or isn't because of the romanticizing that we're doing. But when we can come back to like, oh, like this moment right now, like the chemistry is fucking amazing. Like I'm feeling so much pleasure. I'm giving so much pleasure, and not making it about like, oh, but like in 3 months, like, are we going to be married and have like 5 kids? You know?
Yeah. Which is literally like what cancers do, you know?
Really? Like I fuck someone for the first time and I'm like, oh my God, we would look good down a wedding aisle.
Yo. And then, you know, it's funny and just like,
Oh my God, what a segue. I just got a fucking missed call from the first girl that ever fucked me. I'm just like looking down at it and I'm like.
Her ears are ringing maybe. Maybe she knows. That's she knows so you're talking about sex.
Yeah.
It's so funny that you say that, because you're right. The romanticizing happens and then you start thinking about the future and like, what's going to happen? Am I going to get my heart broken? Blah, 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 blah. Instead of just, like you said, being present in the present moment, whether in sex or just in that situation, 100%. I get that. I 100% get that, because I can, once you take that step back and you can recognize where you're at, I could literally fuck all night. You know what I'm saying? But
Yeah. And I think it's just like being like, it's okay for us to romanticize things, right? It's totally okay. And also, it's such an experience for us to like move away from that and be like, oh, I'm really going to fucking enjoy this. I think every Cancer should have a moment in their like life where they're just casually fucking people. And they're just like, they're not romanticizing about like the future with these people. They're just like, they're just in it. And they're like enjoying the sex, and they're enjoying like the sacredness of being single, and like, yeah, well, I guess like I'm projecting my own experience onto your audience. I'm like, yes, all Cancers should be single at the one time on earth.
Every Cancer needs to be, if you're a Cancer and you're married, get divorced, because
it's we're going on strike.
Honestly, we should though, as Cancers. We fucking should go on strike. We're too good to these people.
Oh my God, so good to them. Fuck me, dead.
I mean, like, oh my God. But you're right, though. I think it's important. Like, I only just discovered, and I'm 32, I just discovered that I can have casual sex. No true feelings. I thought, I went my entire life, or, you know, not my entire life, but like... haven't been fucking since birth, but I went a very long time since I've been sexually active thinking that I needed to be in some sort of emotional, like have some sort of feelings for somebody in order to fuck. And I recently discovered that is not the fucking case. It's actually a very liberating experience, you know, like,
oh my God.
As long as you're being responsible with other people's feelings and communicating and like not being an asshole, it is very liberating for sure.
100%. Like it's magical to really like experience sexual connections and not need it. That's the thing. It's like, you don't need it to be anything else.
Yeah.
And like, it's a really powerful place to be in for sure.
Yeah. I love it. It's beautiful. And now you're doing a course. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. You're doing a program.
Yeah. I've just started this program. It's called Queer Lover. Explain. It's incredible. It's 7 weeks, to really embody your queerness as a superpower and learn the art of pussy worship. And basically it's a roadmap for you to feel incredible about being queer. So we're really looking at like how the messages that you've received growing up around your sexuality have impacted and implanted inside of your body, and like moving them through the body and then creating a more empowering sexual story, really connecting with any shame in your body and releasing it, a lot of self-seduction practices, and everything's just really leading to this place where anybody that joins is like feeling so fucking good about their sexual expression. So whatever that is, you know, whether it's like fluid or pan or bi or whatever, just like really having this deep connection with their sexuality, with their bodies, so that whatever sex they're having, they feel incredible, like, and confident to really ask for what they want, to receive their desires, and to eat pussy like a fucking pro. I definitely go into a little bit of technique, but yeah, it's all about like worshiping pussy and just having an incredible relationship with pussy and sexuality.
I love that. And you're mainly focusing on women who are having trouble with their queerness, would you say?
Yes, but also like anybody that wants to feel like more confident with their pussy and with their body. Yeah. So just like feeling like hydrating their bodies. Like I know a lot of us are like, oh, we've got to like look a fucking certain way and stuff like that. And like, there are many parts of the body where we're like ignoring and not giving love to that part. So yeah, just like hydrating, like all of the parts of the body that we hate. And yeah, like feeling sexually confident. And yeah, I do really love obviously like working with like people that are living, having a lived experience outside of like heteronormativity or the binary, and helping them feel safe in like every intersection of their sexuality or gender.
I love that. I absolutely love that. As somebody who I've fallen in love with way too many straight women who were like too afraid to go there or too afraid to love me or whatever, right?
Right.
That somebody like you would have been so useful, like three fucking years, like 10, 12 years ago, dealing with all the straight women that I've dealt with. Because I believe that we get stuck in this heteronormativity that especially women, for some reason, because sex nowadays, thank God is starting to shift, but it's all about the penis. Like
right.
I've had people come to me and be like, well, it's not really sex, right? Since there's no dick. It's like, what?
I know.
What? You don't even need a dick to orgasm. Most of the time you don't require a dick to like, most of the time there's no dick involved when there's an orgasm. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So it's just, we live in a society that thinks there needs to be a penis in order for it to be valid sex. And so I think women, especially when they're queer, they do internalize that because it's like, well, then I'm less of a woman.
Yeah.
Because I don't want penis right now or whatever. You know what I mean? I definitely.
Yeah. That's a huge myth that needs to be debunked, that like penis and vagina is sex and everything that's not that is not sex. Like sex is anything that is like bringing pleasure to the body. Like you're having sex with yourself when you're like self-pleasuring. Do you know what I mean? When you're touching like yeah. your genitals, like it's any pleasure that's like around your genitals. Like scissoring is having sex, like fucking fingering is having sex, like going down is having sex, like, you know, dry humping, like it's all sex. Like every single part of it is sex. And yeah, you're right. Like there is definitely that I'm less of a human if I'm not having penis in vagina. And that is only because that has been glorified. Like it's like put on this fucking like holy pedestal. And like 90%, I don't actually know if this is like the absolute statistic. I have read it before, but I forget it. Like so many women don't even like receive a lot of like pleasure or have orgasms through that, like, and like lesbian sex is the most highly orgasmic sex.
Thank you for saying that. I've told so many of my straight friends, like my straight women friends, like, bitch, you don't even know what you're missing, like, because I've had so many girls that are straight that are just only used to their heteronormative bubble. Yeah. Look at me and be like, well, it's not fucking because you didn't use the strap on and like because you don't have a dick. It's like, no, I fucked the shit out of her, like with my hands, motherfucker. Like, you know what I mean?
These are our penises, right?
Right. Yeah, they are.
Yeah, no, I really hear that. And that's a huge fucking myth. Like, that's just something that like the patriarchy has like derived and been like, yes, like we're going to like implant this into society and like have them believe this and stuff. But like, yeah, that is not the fucking definition of sex. And everybody, whether you're fucking straight or not, should get on board with what lesbian sex is, because it actually like the presence that's there and like the understanding of pussy and the time that's spent honoring pussy, every woman, whether or not you're getting fucked by a cock or not, like would love that.
Right.
So, yeah.
And yeah. It's so funny because men can fuck women the way that women fuck women because they have hands and mouths as well. You know,
But they don't.
But they don't, because because it's, we've, like, I really do believe, like, not that I'm trying to bash men, but, like, if there are men listening, y'all ain't shit when it comes to sex. Like, you guys don't know how to not be selfish, really, because society, even in porn, it's all about the guy gets off, the porn's done. I watch straight porn and I'm like, but wait, she didn't even enjoy that.
I know. It's actually fucked. Yeah. And I really hear that. A really, really, really good person to follow is Cam Fraser. He speaks a lot about, yeah, like men and sex, if any men ever listen to this podcast. And I really love how he really expands on, it's not like sex isn't over when the guy comes. Like, and yeah. And I think that that's really important. Like, it's like a conversation. It's, you know, it's, do you want to go longer? Like, you know, is there more to explore here? It's not this like decision that's just like, oh yeah, like when the guy comes, like the pleasure ends and like the sex is over.
I've seen it so much and I've heard women, straight women, and I'm like, wait, but like, what about you? It's like, you're not just a vessel for his pleasure.
Right.
Who also need to get that pleasure as well, you know? And it's, and I think lesbian sex is so statistically up there as literally the most orgasmic and most feel good sex. It really is. But I think it's not just because women know women and women connect with women a lot. Like, it's a deeper connection. I think it's also because we understand when one is done, okay, now the other one needs to get some pleasure too. Like, we understand it's like a taking turns type of thing. And I think men and women could do that. I don't
know. Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, of course, like, men and women are having great sex everywhere, for sure. 100%.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like, you know, that's definitely a thing. And lesbian sex, like, let's be really honest, like, lesbian sex is the best sex ever.
Literally.
Yeah. And like, also, like, if you are like watching this and you are curious, like, definitely like explore that curiosity. And like, I feel like, yeah, every woman in this lifetime should experience sex with another woman.
Yeah.
Maybe that's sure. Like a little bit cooked to say, but
no.
I'm so glad that I did. Like, I'm so glad that, you know, those feelings are strong enough to explore it, because it's like, you have, like, I read this like thing once, and it's like, you have like this like chicken dish, and it's just like yum and nice. Then you have like the same dish over here, but it's got like all of these like spices and like, like, it's got like everything in it that you've ever wanted. It's got like the sour cream. It's got like, yeah, like, it's like the most delicious. And like, that's what lesbian sex is. It's like the sex with all of the things that like you've ever desired. It's like the better chicken dish, right? It's the better chicken dish.
Lesbian sex is the better chicken dish. I mean, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I agree.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's my own personal thing. Like, that's why I know that I'm 100% gay, because like, I was in a fucking straight relationship for 7 years, but I never, ever felt what the things that I felt when I've been with these women. And I'm like, oh my God, I feel like they can meet me. And I'm so much more satisfied on every level of my life. Yes, the fucking heartbreak is so much bigger too. Like, everything is bigger. Like, it's like the life, like, the experience is so much more fucking spicier and more deep and more, yeah, like, actually, like, it's a spicy, spicy experience.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes, honestly, I'm like, God damn it, I wish I was straight, because like, I wish I could just go back. I started out with the spicy chicken dish. And like, I wish I could have tried the bland and maybe stuck with it. But like, at the same time, obviously, like, I love pussy too much, you know? So
yeah.
And women, pussy, man, women yeah. are just, oh my God, they're just chef's kiss. They're just fucking gorgeous. Like,
oh my God. Well, yeah, let's do a heartbreak episode one time.
We I'm can so talk down.
About our heartbreaks and
so down.
How to navigate them. And yeah, maybe we I'll have be to. Like, yeah, 100%. I feel like we're the same when it comes to heartbreaks. Like, yes. It's so fucking intense.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay. So now the last question before, because I've taken up a lot of your time. If you could tell one person out there anything, whether it's about heartbreak, sex, whatever, what would you say to them? Like, piece of advice.
That whatever you're feeling is so valid, and to absolutely trust the dominant feeling inside of your body. Like, whether that's telling you to like explore sex with the same, like to explore queer sex or to break up with somebody or anything like that. I think my biggest advice is to create a relationship with your intuition, your pussy, and your body, because that's going to be the thing that gets you through everything. That allows you to have amazing sex, and it also allows you to navigate incredible relationships and breakups. So I think, yeah, just following what feels good and trusting your gut.
I love that. I love that. Thank you. Thank you so much for having this conversation with me.
Thank you.
And
you are so lush.
If y'all want to find her, she'll be linked in the description of the YouTube video. So check her out on Instagram. Where else are you?
TikTok. Jordana Ezra.
Okay. All right. I'll link all of the stuff below. Thank you. Thank you for this combo.
Mwah. Thank you, baby. You're so lucky.